got one question for you. Are you ready?
Hey everybody, what is going on? Let's go and move. Let's do some rotating chairs here. What's going on, Jeff? We got Jeff in the house. Jeff Hines.
Woo, what's going on?
Amazing bassist and guitarist. I am so excited. I've been listening to your music all weekend and just absolutely loving it, man. What a great. I mean, I'm into metal. That was my first love, and I know that the Bearded Metal Chef was into this. So so happy to have you on. What's going on?
I'm glad to be on. This is exciting. And I've heard so many great things. And I know Chaos has won before, and it's really cool. Yeah. I'm just so excited to be a part of this. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, totally, man. And Chaos, what a shout out to Chaos Guitars. Absolutely just an amazing group of guys. Yep. Dave and Rosie. Yep. So great folks. I'm so glad that we were able to catch you. I mean, so this week, honestly, and I tell people this, but it is hard. Every week we're like, another great freaking musician. How the heck did we get so lucky to get absolutely amazing musicians on that are just completely like, this is a different genre. So this is more metal again. Mm. So we've done a couple metal acts. And every time we're like, it's like, this is amazing, great music. And you're playing bass and you're playing guitar with another group. So you have two different bands that you're working with right now, which I absolutely love.
Thank you so much. And again, like to follow up so many great acts before me and great interviews, it's an honor, honestly. Like, you give me high praise on that. So thank you so much. But yeah. Yeah. I do play in two bands. I play in the Unbroken and
Miss Vibrant.
And with the Unbroken, I play bass and vocals, and in Strife, I play rhythm guitar and vocals.
Oh, that's really cool. Nice. So rhythm guitar and vocals, very nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I have my mom is a chorus teacher. So vocals are always a little bit dear and close to my heart, plus as well as guitar, of course. You know, that's my love. That is my love right there is guitar. But you know, it's at this point we have to bring out the desserts. We got to start this out. We got to start this out sweet. We got to start this out with some great desserts. So we always let the guests go first because it is, you know, it is customary. But what does Jeff have for us today?
So this one's a little bit of a little comfort food, something I like to treat myself with on occasion whenever I have free time, which these days is hard to come by, but I'm happy to have it here. And it's just from this little place called The Nest over here in Ridgewood. And every time I go, I have a ritual. I do a whole breakfast. They have lemon chicken soup. They have spinach rolls. I get myself a huge coffee, like this big, bigger than my head. But then when I go home, I always buy this. And they make a really mean, really mean mousse cake. This thing rules.
Nice.
And the reason why I like this so much is not only is it so rich, not only is it just, it fills me up, but the sponge underneath it just makes you feel good. So normally I would have something that would make me feel like, oh, I just had it. I feel like shit. I can't believe this. But with this, yeah, I have that, but I feel good about it. So I don't feel too bad about it.
That's all that matters.
But you know what? That's a comfort food. As long as it feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, comfort food, just having that ability to have comfort food in your life, because that's what kind of just in this, in that time of year, you know, where comfort food is about ready. We're just about to embark on the Thanksgiving. Yeah. And comfort food is something that for me is like that relaxation. It's like home. Mm-hmm. Home cooking, comfort food that just makes you feel like you're relaxed and loved. And I absolutely think that's cool, man. That's cool.
Okay.
So what would I bring? So Andy, I'm gonna say Andy, right? Do you know what? I was gonna go with this. And it was, guess what? So you know that most of the time this is that time of year where we have way too much of these still hanging around.
What is that? It's Halloween candy.
It's Halloween candy.
I still have bags of them at the house. Like, this place was open. I was going to pull out. Like,
I pulled this out last year, and I was told, you have a dessert channel, and you brought a banana? You brought some candy?
I thought you brought a banana.
I did. The ingredient. So, but actually, here's what I actually brought. So this is cookie dough frozen custard.
Ooh.
It is so freaking good. And I can't even show it because it's going to drip out.
This
frozen custard. And so Andy's is a local, they don't have too many, but they're like just a local like Dairy Queen type of thing. And my grandson, who's 11, every day, and anybody who knows me knows that Van is doing the four scoops, Grandpa. And anytime he's with us, he gets four scoops or a shake from this place. And so they know us well and they treat us well. And we get these are so good. And I don't know if you guys, frozen custard is like a thing. It's actually a little bit better for you calorie wise. But you add these crazy ingredients to it. Like this has cookie dough, which is kind of normal. But last night I had a peanut butter and jelly one.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Like it's so good. It's so good that you're just like, and it was that crunchy peanut butter, like with the little peanuts in it still.
Ooh,
oh, super good. Oh, hey, James, we know we got to bow down. The guy makes his own desserts here. He's a professional chef. So I just know to just buy store-bought and candy because I cannot compete with the man. So, James, what did you bring, my friend? What did you bring?
So today on my way to work, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to, like, it's the fall season. I'm going to make something with apple. Ooh. So I'm like, what can I make with apples? So I'm like, I'm going to make some cookies. So I said, what cookie would go good with apples? Snickerdoodles, right? Mm-hmm. So I did the snickerdoodles, and then inside is, I'll show you like the plate. Okay, here's the plate of the snickerdoodles, and then
nice.
In between them. So,
okay, say that again. We broke up.
So there, it always breaks up like right here. It's apple pie filled.
Apple pie filling?
That is so good.
That is so good.
And
that
it's
is
so appropriate good. For the time right now. Oh,
look at him. You can just see that. Yeah, you can just see that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so what I did was I just chopped up apples, mixed them with some cinnamon, and then a little bit of brown sugar and butter. Let that sit in the fridge, kind of like had like a towel underneath it so I would get all like the moisture from it, and then made the cookie dough and stuffed the cookies with that.
I've been trying to get the man to just show, like I just said, hey, why don't you do a fast motion picture or video of you making these things for our show, just so we could throw in like 2 minutes of him
like
making
a whole video package of it, right?
Oh yeah, that'd be like the perfect shorts right there. Yeah. So I'm gonna get him to do it. Every time. He's gonna be like, he makes these from scratch. Yeah, he makes these from scratch. Yeah, no doubt. So this leads us to our question about food. What is your go-to, I'm gigging, I need this food to go on stage type of meal?
Oh, okay. Well, when I was, I was asked this 5 years ago, it would be, my stomach was nearly like stone at that point. I can eat anything. Like I would go to the nearest 7-Eleven. I'd risk my life on these hot dogs or the little taco rolls. And then I played a show with Saving Abel, and it betrayed me horribly. Now we're the opening act, thank God.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just like, I'm not headbanging. I'm just standing there. I'm just hoping no air is coming in. I'm just like, just go through the motions. Just get through. You can do this. And just like the moment I got off, I'm glad people were coming in right after us, because I feel bad whoever had to go in the stall after me. But now, I try to eat light in the morning. I try to eat as clean as possible, so that nothing's like bloating me up. Like I'll eat maybe a salad in the afternoon or something like that. But I'll start off protein-based eggs, go from there. Very little coffee, maybe some tea sometimes, if I can find it. And just go through that. Try to eat at least 2 hours before performance so that it's kind of off of me, and just go from there. It's trying to keep me light, trying to keep me going. And then afterwards, I'll just indulge in anything that is around, like pizza or anything. I'll go for it. So that's really my whole regimen. That and water.
Water is a key.
Yeah, there's nothing like eating a bunch of bad stuff before you have to go on and play in front of people. And then I have to be like, okay, I have to go. And I have like a 30-minute set or something like that.
It's bad. Like, especially if I'm in a crowd or walk position, I'm just like, oh, this is really bad. Like, this is not going to end well for nobody. The front row.
It's bad when you have to like talk to your body, like, okay, give me like 30 minutes. I'll go to the bathroom. Like, just don't do nothing. You have to like talk yourself out of it.
It's like, well, I feel bad for the drummer behind me. It's like, oh, you're screwed. I'm hiding behind the amp a little bit. No one's going to know.
No one, look over here. So, and you know what? I think you do it once, right? You do this once where you eat something so gross that makes your stomach. Because I remember I used to play in band a long time ago, and you do it once. You go to band day and you're like, oh, nachos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You do it once, and then you don't ever do it again. Yeah. Yeah, you don't do it ever again, because you're just like, this is not good. We're going to march this field now, right?
So yeah.
It's fun. It's good times. It's good times. You do it once, though.
I guess this kind of counts, too. During the first Carnival of Chaos, in Strife and Unbroken played it, I didn't know what food was around, so I just looked up whatever they had. There's a Five Guys. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go for it. Shouldn't have done that. And to this day, my guitarist makes fun of me because he saw it all over my face. It's like, you're screwed. You have a 4-hour drive ahead of you. You cave. And I'm standing as motionless as possible. I'm trying, like, trying to give a performance. Meanwhile, my guts are just, it's like this.
You're like, gonna love it.
And we're playing right after the labs and all these really good bands. I really want to impress these guys.
Yeah.
So
what'd you say, James? I heard you talking there for a second.
I was like, Chris threw a food suggestion out there that he makes is pizza with hot dogs on top.
Oh.
Pizza with hot dogs on top. Oh.
That sounds delicious. Sounds good, but I don't know.
It sounds good, but it sounds like ruinous if you're about ready to play a gig on top of that.
That sounds like something I would make at home.
Oh, my goodness.
Just not go out.
Do you know
what's he makes it out.
Door the bar for a reason. Giorno. Chop up some Nathan's hot dogs. Here we go.
There you go. I'm on. This is week number two of hot dog discussion. So our last guy was running out of convenience stores and eating them cold. And I'm sure that 7-Eleven is almost right up there in the, that is what, but yeah, I used to eat those. You know, I ate those when I was a kid, like when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Stop at Circle K, go get myself a little dog, throw a little jalapenos on them. We're good. A little bit of that squeezy cheese, whatever that is. And then you're paying later. But So oh, yeah. Moving on from that, from the hot dog discussion, from good times, but, you know, well, maybe not good times for you during those times, but funny now.
The great experience afterwards. Yeah. Moment, maybe not so much. Right. Speaking of that, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I used to live in front of a Hess gas station, and they just had that whole display. I'm just like, fuck. I went in there, 3 hot dogs, chili cheese, everything laid out for hours. But yeah.
Good food. And so we got, so let's acknowledge our crowd really quick. We have Nick H in the building. We got Chris Hines. Whoa.
Ooh, my brother.
My brother's in town. We got Kevin York.
Hey.
What's going on?
He's the one who's catching the hot dog pizza.
Z. Nice. We got Nicholas Z in the house. Thank you guys for all joining. We got some awesome. Yeah, we got some great people.
Chris says 7-Eleven is metal.
Somebody 6661 is 7-Eleven is metal if you have a metal stomach. Absolutely.
Exactly.
That's the epitome of metal. That's the epitome of metal. Metal's iron stomach. You got to have the iron stomach. Yeah. So that should be it. That should be your new the next band, Iron Stomach. Yeah. Coming next to a venue near you,
Lead Belly.
So let's get into some music, man. That's what we're here for. And I will let James do some discussion too. No I know problem. He always does some good lick up, but here is my question, and this is always the generic question that most people ever get asked. What got you into this so that you said, this is the career that I'm choosing? I want to play bass and guitar, and I want to sing in a band. What got you here?
Oh, man. So might be a little bit of a long story, so please forgive That's me fine. On that. But I actually grew up into music. My father was a musician. He was a guitarist, lead singer of a cover band in the neighborhood, in my neighborhood, actually. A lot of people knew him. A lot of people loved what he did. He pulled out stuff that people wouldn't even hear any other cover band do. They were blown away. And just how he presents himself just made me appreciate live music. I mean, I was going to the studios at like age maybe 2 or 3 with my younger brother. We were exposed to music at such a young age. Like, and I remember feeling his drummer like hitting the kick drum and just feeling it through my chest. And it was like, it didn't alarm me. It made me feel good. And it's like, oh, wow, this is fun. And as I would grow up, it's like, I really want to do what my dad did. And I would in like later on down the road. And I started with guitar. I started with flamenco guitar and classical guitar.
Oh, cool.
I studied underneath a student of Segovia. And it's really, really cool. He was an educator, and he talked all about that, but he really put me through my paces, made sure that I did everything correctly, or I did it all over again. And I really appreciated that discipline. And I started out playing guitar in a small little band with my friends. We played some basement shows and stuff like that. And eventually, when I would get into the metal circuit, just seeing what everyone was doing, I wanted to take up bass. I wanted to try something different because there was more of a demand for that. Like, every band needed a bass player for some reason. And I appreciate bass because of my best friend, who is an incredible bassist. His name is Louis Padilla. And his command of bass, by far, it would put anybody out there right now into question. Just incredible. I'm highly influenced by him and his playing. He's very funk-based. He love stuff like Marcus Miller, Victor Wooten, a couple of my influences outside of metal. A couple of my influences in metal are Cliff Burton, and, you know, going from there, heavily on Cliff Burton, I should say.
Nice.
But going into like bands, just playing bass, I used my influence from not only that, but from my best friend to really encourage me to get into these bands. Just like, I can do this. Like, and appreciate it, not just as, oh, you can play it as a guitar. You can't do that. You have to treat it like a different beast. You have to respect it as such. It's a lead instrument that holds everything down. It's not like guitar where you play along with it and then you can go outside and do whatever you want. bass has to, you know, command so much. If bass sucks, you're going to hear it. If the bass is not on top of everything, if you're not grooving to it, and that's what everyone's headbanging to, the band sucks, and you might as well just stop.
Right.
But I wanted to go into bass because of that, because I wanted to not only play live and have more opportunities to play live, but because I wanted to really challenge myself in an instrument that, besides guitar, I had very little experience in, no formal training or anything. And here we are so many years later. I think I started playing bass maybe 7 years ago and guitar about 12. So.
Oh, nice.
Amazing.
That's what people think too. That's like the whole stigma about a bass player. Oh, like the band, like, oh, you're a bass player. Oh my God. But it's like a bass player is really an elemental part of a band. You know what I'm saying? It's really like a good force behind the band.
Yeah. It's sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, it's the piggyback what you just said. It's really true. It's a lot of people don't appreciate it. Like going into it, they think just bass is like, oh, it's just, as Dave Mustaine would say, playing bass is one step below playing the kazoo. And
right.
Some cases, many people would see that, especially how people treat the instrument. They'll sometimes go from playing guitar to playing bass. But when you see an actual bass player at work, it's definitely wonderful. Like, seeing Lee at work, for example, is magic. At Geddy Lee, just incredible.
I agree with you. Right. And so my son, who is 4 years into bass, mm-hmm. He's stand-up bass right now, playing an orchestra. Mm-hmm. And then for Christmas, big surprise is he's getting an electric bass.
So cool.
I'm really excited for him because he's been hounding me. He's like, Dad, I really want an electric bass so I can just really kind of pick this up. And I'm excited for him. And his bassist, like That's you, awesome. Billy Sheehan, Cliff Burton. Mm-hmm. I'm missing the guy from Flotsam and Jetsam. Jason Newsted.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually, you know, he's a local boy here. Jason is. He was actually with Flotsam and Jetsam before he's out of Gilbert, Arizona. So, it's so interesting to me that I will say this about the bass, and I will say this about rhythm guitar, is that if you don't have it, you completely miss that wall of sound. And it is that extra piece. And people don't realize that, because I picked up guitar and I'm like, oh, I can play this, but it's always missing that wall. And there's a wall of sound that gets created because it's the bottom line. The bass line is everything that is built. You build everything upon that bass line. And people don't realize how important it is. Now, most people think of Flea because he's so extravagant with his playing. He's playing a lot of that slap bass, a little bit of funk bass. And I think of Parliament, whatchamacallit, Parliament. I think of all those, you know, some jazz. I know a lot of jazz bassists. But those guys are the band. They keep that stuff together, because if you don't have that driving bass line, it's just like what you're saying. It's huge miss. And you won't like the band. You won't listen to them. And the first thing that I was listening to, I knew you were a bassist. You don't normally pick it out right away. And if you have a trained ear, you can definitely hear it, and you know you're listening for it. But it definitely is, especially with metal bass. It's distorted. It's great. But it's that dark, deep, like people want to do drop D, and you know they put that extra 7th string in there just to get that level of dark. Mm-hmm. Into their sound, and that's what bass does. It adds that.
Yeah, it's the thickness.
Right, absolutely does. Which is why people are stringing 8 and 7 string guitars around, just to get that level. You know, get that really thick, nice, beautiful sound. I love it. I absolutely love it. And that was my first. I picked up a PV bass. So before I got my electric guitar, which was the same year, I picked up this heavy monster of a PV bass that my mom had she played. And she was additionally a student of Segovia. So I knew exactly who you, and I know exactly what you went through to be able to pick up guitar, because people don't realize that Segovia had a lot of students. Mm. And they came and they taught other students. My mom was down at U of A down in Tucson, and she found a teacher down there. But here's the thing about students of Segovia, and they, to your point, they will not let you, they will make you redo it over and over technique wise in hand posture and just your hands and the way that they're being held and how your sound goes. You have to replay that every time you make a mistake. They do not let you. And they have did they do the string, like the electric or the rubber bands on your fingers to while you when you were playing to help kind of guide you and like get your. That's what my mom was doing. It was crazy.
Well, no, we didn't have that. I never even had all that. It was just, you know, if I messed up anywhere in that, he'd make me restart everything. Mm-hmm. He was looking for two things. He was taught not only to play it technically, but also to play it with feel. From what he told me, Segovia would look for students that had proficiency in both. If you were able to play it technically, but you lacked the emotion, he wouldn't take you. Because if you couldn't attach the emotion and portray that to anybody, you're not going to do anything. And if you have a lot of a passion for the instrument, but you don't know what the hell you're doing, then you have no dedication to actually bettering yourself in the instrument. So then you wouldn't do that either. You had to be kind of evil. Right. On the whole thing. At least that's what I learned from my educator. So I didn't know that anyone was doing the whole rubber band thing or anything like that.
Maybe that she added that. Maybe she just added that for complexity later. But I know that she was, technique was everything. And if you watch, my mom seriously would play, I mean, she has it's a classical guitar, flamenco. Mm-hmm. So she's playing classical guitar and she just sitting there playing the same riff, trying to play it perfectly. At least, I mean, it must have been, you know, it's like, what, maybe four measures in certain areas where she's just playing over and over again until she perfects it. And with the emotion that's needed, right, where she would, you know, she would just do the little gesture to give the little vibrato, mm-hmm, just to make sure the vibrato was perfect but not overdone, the feel, which is feeling, right? So amazing. That's cool that you were able to do that. I hands down, my mom did not teach me a lick. I had to go to guitar teachers.
Oh, man. It was such a valuable like tool in everything. I even I put it in bass as well. I try to like let that go through. In fact, I do different techniques like fan picking. I put that in bass as well, but I don't fan pick completely with bass. I just do kind of like a flick back and forth where I'm using the back of my nail to really get my triplet. Rather than going the traditional, I'm going like this to really get a faster, quicker, and cleaner triplet.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Which is actually, instead of using a pick or alternate picking, you're using your fingers to help kind of manipulate. Yeah, nice, very cool. So it's that, really it's alternate picking, but using the back. Yeah, that's awesome. I've never actually heard anybody actually doing that on bass. That's cool.
Oh, thanks, man.
That's really cool. And it comes from the musical
that you studied.
Go ahead, James. Go ahead, James. Sorry.
Nah. Like a, we said, like a mentor, or like a being taught in like the Segovia day. Really.
He's breaking apart, isn't
he? So it just shows how good you are, I guess.
I think you said that you were giving him compliments about how good he was, and that's what he's taking on.
Thank you so much.
Shows by saying that you went to this, in the Segovia and taught under Segovia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got lucky, really, on that one. So it's just.
Isn't that cool? But it's the right place, right time. And sometimes that's just the way. So right. I'm going to tell everybody my 5 second story, and because this isn't this is about you. But my 5 second story is that George Lynch was like my next door neighbor, which if you know who George Lynch is, Lynch Mob Dokken guitarist.
Oh, man.
I was at 17. I went to him and they said, well, I don't give lessons, but my teacher does. And he's here in the Valley.
Okay.
I get on the phone with him and I go, and he told me basically, I only take, like Segovia, I only take students that are very serious and they want to be in music. And I was one of those straight A kids. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if that's what I want to do. I'm doing really well in school outside of music. And I don't know if that's what I want to do. My parents are musicians, and you know, they chose to teach and do other things because it didn't pay the bills. And I was like, right. I think I'm not that dedicated to it. I have really good grades. I'm going to go. I have this college educational line thing that I'm trying to go down. And I don't know if that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. I don't want to know if I want to play in bands and live on floors and sit and, you know, do the whole touring gig thing. So at 17, I decided not to, but I had such, I mean, I was like, that was the direction where I chose not to go music. And 20, 30 years later, this is what I'm doing.
Fun. But I that's love it too, because like 20, 30 years later, like I got the chance to meet you guys, and that's just, that's wonderful to me. Like somehow like the universe brings people together, and I love the fact that it brought us into this moment. So
absolutely, man. Absolutely. James, I know you've done some research. Let's hear some questions. If we can actually.
No, man. Yeah, like I said, right. Can you get a good connection? Are you good?
Yeah, it's okay. It comes in and out.
Yeah. I was gonna say, what's been the kind of like your most, I guess, best experience with your whole musical career? What's been a good, like, even touring?
Oh man,
what's been a good experience? I guess.
There's so many. I want to say I don't want to just say the whole thing, because it's just like, I feel like that's a cop out, but it's just like, I would be doing such a injustice to, you know, not include everybody that I've been able to play with. Like I played with over 25 bands in my time, and from every one of them, I took each and every one of them.
Wow.
Because it's a chance for me to, because I don't go to teachers anymore. I had one more educator after that who really, it was only one lesson. It really made me appreciate avant-garde music, which would lead me into appreciating progressive and polyrhythms and different measure counting and whatnot. But it it's so, let's see. To get to play with so many bands and be able to open up for big bands like Flotsam and Jetsam was one of them. I opened up for them. Saving Abel, opening up for Angel Vivaldi a couple times, who's such a cool guy. Oh my gosh.
Nice.
Playing, traveling to the South to tour with a band called The Mansion while I was in a band called Sonaro, who's a Connecticut and New York based band. I've had a couple of music videos of that. Very good guys, incredible musicians, and even better people. To playing with just so many of these guys, to even the bands I'm playing with right now, which is In Strifement and The Unbroken, who continued not only to push me as a musician, but just continues to push me to better myself in as a full, because there's a full package to that. But to answer this question, I guess I'll use the one from the Sonora one real quick. We traveled down to the South. We got stranded halfway into the tour. We came from San Angelo in Texas, and we were traveling, I think, to Austin, if I'm not mistaken. And our tour bus broke down on the highway on a Sunday, and you can't get any help from a tow truck until the next morning. So we're stuck on the side of the road, and it's pitch black in the middle of the desert. It's beautiful though, because on one side you're hearing wolves and the other side you're hearing pigs, and it's, you know, it should be creepy, but I'm on this bus hanging out with a couple of guys from Europe that in any other situation I would never have gotten the chance to even hang out with. And really wonderful people. We got towed to this small town in Kingsland, Texas, where the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house actually is, which is now a hotel.
Oh my God.
And it was such an incredible experience to see that, meet the people there. It was such a small town, and being what they say is the first ever touring band to come to their town and play a sold out show. it was incredible. We were the very first to meet these people, to hang out with them. They served us food. And when we left, it felt like I was leaving a piece of myself behind, because I attached myself to these people who could have easily just said, screw him, let him be in his little bus frying out, and, you know, whatever. Everybody there, from the gas station attendants to supermarket attendants to anyone in the neighborhood, treated us with so much respect as if we were family. Even the police officers were super cool. And although we wanted to go home, we felt like that was our home in a sense. And we still do, every individual there. And hopefully I can go back one day and play a returning show. Because I feel like I would, if I'm going to plan a tour, they are going to be one of the first stops I stop off at, because I made some fast friends over there, and everyone there is just incredible. And they, although I'm a New York boy, Texas has my heart. And I guess one last experience, I suppose, besides all that I just said, is headlining Irving Plaza for the first time over here in New York City. And someone brought their daughter, a younger child, and she was blown away by the whole set, and loved my hair. And I have long hair that just goes beyond even my body. I like to tell bands that I sweep the stage for them before I get off the stage, so they have a clean stage to play. And as soon as I'm getting off the stage, this father and his daughter wanted to meet me. And the person who's in this chat, I believe, is still here, Chris Hines, my brother. He looks almost nearly exactly like me. So she thought she was taking a photo with him. And so, you know, it was just funny. Like, people were like, Jeff, no, this person wants to see you. I jump off the stage, running over there. She thought she was seeing double. So it made her day. Her face lit up. And just, it was just an incredible experience to do that for somebody of younger age. Like, you catch them young, they're going to appreciate this forever. And I love the fact that like her father brought her out to a show, but like, I love the fact that my performance, whether or not it's bass or just the fact that I waved my hair all around and looked like a windmill for 45 minutes to an hour, if that was enough to appeal her at a young age to love metal, I think I've done my job, and I appreciate that the most. The Carnival of Chaos.
Carnival of Chaos. Tell us about that. That's awesome, man.
I loved it. So I know it was like around the time when COVID was really like getting into full swing, and we were all nervous in Strife, and the Unbroke was totally cool. Like, it's like, nah, we're gonna do this. But traveling 4 hours, you know, I didn't care. I was like, I'm gonna make it. I don't give a fuck how long it's gonna take me. I apologize for cursing. I don't care how long it takes me. I'm gonna get there. This is for Dave. This is for us. This is for Chaos. I cannot wait. I wouldn't dream of being anywhere else. And it's just so cool being at the church for the first time and just like seeing the whole place. So cool. Oh, it's like, I thought it was just like the first floor. Like, just seeing everything else is just, like jaw dropping how beautiful it is. That place is just wonderful. And just the bands that they picked, they handpicked really good bands, as just sound was good. Everything about that was just all good natured, very positive, very energetic, and just fun. And I loved every second of it. And it just makes me so excited for the next one. And it's just, I can't wait to see what they got planned, because they don't just say, okay, we're going to just do a show. They plan something big. They always do. I mean, like, Chaos is like that. They don't just build a guitar. They want to build a guitar that you're going to want to play for the rest of your life, that is unique in every single fashion. And knowing Dave, he's going to do the same thing with Carnival Chaos too.
I love it, man. And Dave has been on the show, of course, with his wife. And what an absolutely amazing time we had with him. And I can't imagine, because you could tell that he personally has so much passion that he puts into the guitars. I can't imagine the amount of love and passion he puts into a car, you know, a show that has so many different bands in it that just amazing. I bet it just sounded like it was one of the best concerts you've ever been to.
It was. And in fact, it was the first time I got my hands on the prototype of Dark Matter. And that plays just so good.
Cool.
Not only did I get to play it, but we played a festival recently with them, Strife, and our lead guitarist got the chance to play that guitar for himself. And he loved it. And it's because it's versatile, it's light, and the aesthetic to it is just so nice. I love the cutaways on it. It's just so cool. It looks like from afar, you wouldn't think anything unless you saw the cutaways. But then when that glow comes in, then you realize, oh, this is special. This is cool.
That is cool. Yep. He's a, you know, craftsmanship. And
speaking of the lead guitar for Instrive, he's actually in the chat room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. We totally appreciate everybody in the chat right now. Yeah, I mean, it's just really cool. I always, you know, I'm a very big partial person. I thought, okay, I'm going to be a Fender Strat or a, you know, I have a Les Paul by Gibson. And I thought those are my things. Mm-hmm. Then I saw what Chaos Guitar was going with, and that's my next guitar. That's no doubt in my mind that one of his guitars are going to be my next guitar because I was so impressed and blown away with what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Now I just have to save up a little bit to be able to buy it. It's a lifetime guitar. You buy
what you
something
get for the
price,
that is really
unique.
Affordable, yeah.
No, by far you can't touch it. I as you probably know, you go look at Gibson and Fender, you're talking $5,000 or $6,000 for a custom. There's no doubt in my mind that what Chaos Guitar is doing is absolutely amazing, and for the price and for what you get, it blows you away. We saw did you see Gary's guitar?
Trying to remember which one that was.
He has the case is a disco in a box.
Ah, yes.
And then he has that glow in the dark guitar too. It's so amazing.
He has a Dark Matter too. Nice.
Yeah. So I think that's what he bought. If not, he bought something that is like he blows you away with whatever he bought. I was blown away by the case. I was just like, the case. And then he has the glow in the dark thing.
It's so cool. I have one of those cases for the Dark Matter. I'm blown away by just what he did with it. It's just so cool. Like black lights and the whole wiring. Like I would never have thought doing this, like a travel case just to make this thing pop. It's just like, how is this going to be achieved? And he found a way to do it. That's the way I didn't even think about it. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be an incredible feat to do. I didn't even think of this. It's the mind on him was just incredible. And if I may say one other thing, like Dave's attention to detail is so, so good. But at the same time, he will go out of his way to make sure that you are pleased with the instrument. He will not stop until you are absolutely 100% sure that you are happy with it before it leaves his shop. He is that dedicated to making sure that you leave with an instrument that you want. He is not satisfied if you are not 100%. And I appreciate that that level of professionalism and care. You don't see that much anymore. Like you see a lot of guitar companies just CNC mill their instruments and they're just out there. It's like, okay, cool, it's there. But with a Chaos instrument, you know for a fact that if it's out there, David's put hours into making sure that it's right. If it's not, he's going to go back into a shop and find out why this isn't right. He'll the meticulous detail. And
yeah, his customer service is just totally 1,000,000%.
Yes. He'll take the time, and I appreciate that. Even before I became an endorsed artist with them, just such a cool guy. Like
totally.
I'm still blown away how I even met him.
Yeah, what is the story? How did you meet him?
So that's actually that's very interesting. The shirt that I'm wearing is actually leading to that. So right before, okay, so he had a contest for for this shirt, and I won. I got this shirt in the mail. I was like, all right, cool. This is awesome. And when I was going out to, I forget which year it was, but it wasn't too far off from there. And it has to be either 2017, 2018, NAMM, down in Anaheim. And I was going down there under a ESP endorsee, like artist badge. So I went down there and I packed the Chaos shirt because I didn't know which after party I was going to go to, but I wanted to make sure people saw this. I didn't get into any after parties, unfortunately, but you know, it happens like that. But I made sure the day I went to NAMM that I wore this because I researched them prior to that. It's like, the way I do things is this. I'll research you. I'll look up everything that you're about. And if I love it, if I think that it's worth talking about, I will go out of my way to do so. And I saw what they were doing, the amount of time and dedication to it. I was like, these guys should be here, but they're not. So I'm going to make sure people know of this name. Even if they never know who I am, at least people will know that they see all this name. And I did that. I took a couple of photos with a couple of my artist friends and just hung out and then flew back to New York the next day. But right after that, Dave appreciated that. I didn't think he was going to really hit me up or anything. You know, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't even know who he even knew who I was, to be honest. And from then we started talking about Isabel, which is my signature bass, one of the three witch instruments. And it's just that the circumstances of that and his kindness, we didn't have to talk about Isabel or anything like that. But the fact that he just messaged me was just, it was mind blowing. It's like, you know who I am. It's like, it just made me freak out a little bit. It's like I didn't know what to say. But from then on, he's just been one of the coolest guys I've ever met. He's brought me into his world, and I've gotten the chance to see this dedicated man work around so much. He handles everything with class and just professionalism and kindness, and it's so rare to find that these days. But he is just one of the coolest and kindest men I've ever gotten the chance to even know, let alone he trusts me with his namesake, his company's namesake, which he put together. And just meeting him is just enough for me. I'm over the moon. But knowing him and being able to call him a friend, that's enough for me. But the fact I get to go around and say I'm a Chaos artist is just the amount of pride I have there, you couldn't bottle up or anything. It's just, it's so much to me, and I'm forever grateful for that. But I'm even grateful knowing Rosie, Dave, everybody involved. So
Rosie's great. So we're going to get to instruments. So instrument wise, you have Isabel. Tell us a little bit about Isabel. What is it that you love about Isabel? What kind of bass is it? What kind of maybe pickups that you're playing on?
So I really have to ask Dave again what the pickups were, because I don't know the full technical detail of that. Mm-hmm. But what I love is that
but he's actually in the chat right now.
Hey!
Hey, Dave. What's going on, buddy?
Unless I heard you talking about him.
I was playing good things.
Yeah, sure, Dave.
But well, with Isabel, it's a four string, I would say like a P bass type, neon green, beautiful neon green, with a really cool looking image of this witch's face, just fucking scary and grotesque. I love that. I'm a huge fan of horror, but like, the neck is a bit thinner at the top. The first fret, which I really like. A lot of my basses, you'll get stuff like around this radius and whatnot, but Isabel, it's right around here, and I can just speed for me. It's like going up and down everything. And it's just whenever I want to play a show, if I'm going, like typically I play six string basses right now, but I'm quickly going back to four, and I really want to go back to Isabel because of how easy it is to play and the kind of response I get from just from with the attack and everything from it. It's really a Swiss Army knife of bases, and just it's just a powerhouse going out there. That even I have several bases, and a lot of them don't even compete. It's if I had to go travel, like besides like a backup base, which is probably my ESP 206LB, which is the six string I'm referencing right now, it would be Isabel in a heartbeat as my main. But it's heavy, it's warm, and it's punchy. It's right in your face. You're able to control it easily. It's not like just one and done, like with so many different ones. You can really take the time to shape it from just the bass alone before you go into amp, pedal, or EQ settings.
Oh, cool. That's huge. I was trying to describe that to somebody. I said, guitar is so much more than just the instrument. There's so much shaping that you can do to be able to affect the way that people hear you. And I just picked up a new, like a modeling pedal that has like, it's just an amp modeler pedal that turns it into like a Marshall tube. It has a tube. It's a tube modeler. So it kind of gives you put it at the very end, and then you can just give it that tube sound. And there's like a bunch of different settings to be able to give that really nice crisp tube sound that I absolutely love tube. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna play with this. I got it for $25, $30. So I was like, I'm playing with this for a while.
Nice.
But it's about shaping sound, and that's what you're talking about. And each instrument has a different aspect. I found that you do usually go back to your instrument that you love to play all the time, and you'll be picking that up. But there are basses and different instruments, like for guitar, that you pick up for this reason. Like, I can say that my Strat, I play most of the time all over, you know, I'm really playing a lot of different things with. Where I play with my Telecaster, I'll play a bunch of, like, I'll be more versatile with it because it's such a versatile instrument. Mm-hmm. Whereas I pick up my Les Paul, I'm playing rock.
Yeah,
I'm only playing rock. I'm playing some Guns N' Roses. I'm playing, you know, and it's just very specific, very rock. I'll, you know, maybe some Zakk Wylde or something. But
nice.
Yeah, and you know, I still like I like. But that's what you kind of know that getting into a Les Paul. Where I think what you're talking about with Isabel is it's that versatile bass where you can play some jazz, but then you could also be playing some rock and some metal.
Oh, absolutely. And like Mike, what you're saying with Strats and Tellies, I'm the same way. If I'm like with guitar, for example, if I really want to go into any rock or anything like that, like something not going into metal, I go straight to my Telecaster, and it's you know, I get everything I need from that. If I'm going to go into metal, same thing with either Les Pauls or my ESP Les Paul clone 256. It's the instrument. It commands what it wants. It knows it. You know exactly what you're going to get from it, and you just go right to it. It's like, I need this for this. Grab this. Immediate.
Yep. Because you just know, and then you can, and you do some of the modeling stuff afterwards to kind of get that tone that you're looking for. I really like, when I was playing your album from Unbroken, that's exactly what I was picking up, is that it was so heavy, but it had your guitarist on it was amazingly fluent and had really good riffs and leads. And I could hear that driving bass behind everything, that just really a great metal sound that had that crunch to it. And that was, I was really digging that because it's just really great music. And it also had just enough to where it wasn't like overbearing, like blary. It wasn't, I've seen a lot of metal bands where it's just blary and it's like, we're playing really loud and we're really fast.
Yep.
Yours had musicality to it, which is, you know, adding definitely a different dimension to metal, which I enjoy.
Thank you. And it just like it all comes from like the whole band itself. Like our guitarist Chester and Mark, like, command on tone and just power and riff. It's just, they're really the driving force and all that. Tomas and I, Tomas being the drummer, we do our best, like, really lay the floor down so that we just go and have this massive wall of sound coming right at you unapologetically, and you're gonna have to take this wave and you're gonna have to ride it. And but without going into what you're saying, blaring, like, when I'm there are parts where we're all really going into like gallops or anything, like really heavy trill picking or anything like that. I don't do that, for example, otherwise you're gonna get a muddy tone. Like, I'll play back a little bit so you can make sure you can hear the bass clearly and fully without just having too much ear bleed. Like, it's one thing to have guitars just going right forward, just really just chugging away and everything like that, but the bass has to do something else. It has to hold it down. It has to play around with the rhythm and everything. It's holding it down. It's got to be similar to what the guitars are doing, but, you know, not too much. It's its own instrument for that reason. For so many
reasons. For sure. Well, and that's the thing. My son, people don't realize how much. So my son, of course, plays in orchestra, and he's the only bass. He's a, you know, he's like almost 6 foot now, believe it or not. And he's like 13, 6 foot tall, and he's a sturdy kid. He's not skinny. He's a sturdy kid. He's like 200 pounds already. So he's sitting there in the back, and when he plays the bass, like, it just commands attention. You're like, that's my son playing the bass. It fills the room. It just fills the room. And you'll have that violin, which is, that's what I was telling somebody. I said, you have those non-bass instruments, you know, the treble instruments, just playing their thing, which is what guitars are doing, right? Mm-hmm. Even though they can play a lot of rhythm, and that's what, you know, originally they were designed for, but the lead is playing his thing, but you can feel, and again, if you can just feel the difference if you have a good bassist in, and that's the reason why I tell my kid, you got to practice to get good at this and to be mastering it. You got to practice. And I'm not about, you know, I play like 3 or 4 hours still, mm-hmm. but I tell him, just half an hour, please, half an hour to master this instrument, because it's something to be disciplined about, but it's also, it is, to be playing bass, you have to be extremely disciplined, more than you would as a guitarist, because of what you're doing. You're holding down the rhythm section, and it's a percussive instrument that's playing rhythm as well, so you have to be able to have that whole balance there, or the band falls apart. You don't hear that wall of sound correctly.
Yeah. It's totally true. It's totally true. I mean, like, think of any, like, for instance, let me go back a little bit. Cliff Burton's the song that got him into playing bass, which is, I think, the Barney Miller theme song, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yep.
That bass line is super hot. It comes down so much. Like, really good bass that inspired a prominent bass player to like do what he does, and God rest his soul and everything. Right. Like, but how many bassists today in modern metal to even country and everything, they all know who Cliff Burton is and everything, not just because of what he can do with those, like Anesthesia, I can't say that word, or Orion, but just how he commands everything. Like Metallica to this day, even with Trujillo, with Newstead, all that wouldn't be possible without Cliff Burton and what he's able to do. It just his ability to transcend even all the riffs and everything is massive.
Well, he was also helping write the music too. So that was he was in writing music with Metallica, and that was, I think that's the difference between when they say old Metallica and new Metallica. I think it's because Cliff was so in the music, writing it with them, compared to them writing a bass line for their guitar. Mm-hmm. And it's not that. There's Metallica people that just love Metallica, and there's people that hate the new Metallica sound. To me, it's like it's just music just progressing. They found different music and playing the same Metallica. You can't play Kill 'Em All the time, or Master of Puppets all the time. It's just, it'd be a boring, it would be like, hey, these guys as musicians haven't progressed.
You can't have it sound like that. There's got to be a progression. And, you know, they can't always sound like, you know, the Black Album. It can't always sound like, you know, Master of Puppets. It can't always sound like the same thing. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you know, whatever. I mean, it has to be progression in your music. Otherwise, you know, why make music, you know, if it's going to be the same thing?
And then that leads us to our question here. Progression-wise, musically, where have you felt that is the biggest progress that you've made in your playing and in your music?
As of late, I feel like I progress more with the people that I play with. I've had the chance to play with some incredible musicians and just picking up so much from them, from bass or guitar. Even playing bass, I pick up so much on guitar. And if I'm on guitar, picking up so much on bass and vice versa. It's just, I have the ability to learn and pick up and absorb so much. For instance, our lead guitarist in Strife is technically proficient. He is incredible when it comes to what modern metal is today. Like, stuff I couldn't play back then, and I'm picking up now. Like, he'll play a song called Bleed by Meshuggah that for a little while gave me nightmares, because it's like, I gotta learn this song. It's just, I couldn't grasp the rhythm that they were doing. But it's just, because I'm seeing how much enjoyment and what it can do, it made me really interested and want to pick this up, really challenging myself to go beyond what I already know. And I'm glad that, you know, that's there. But when it comes to progression, it's really all up to everyone that's around me. The more I enjoy things, the more opportunities I allow myself to get absorbed in. It's just, it helps me grow. And that's pretty much all it is. I mean, as far as that.
That's cool. Any last questions? We're coming up to our hour. We always try to keep our shows to an hour just to keep, you know, keep mindful of your time. James, what's some of your questions real quick before we take off? And
I was going to say, with what you said about the really just meeting Dave through just a giveaway, like you won him through a giveaway. If he knew who you were, 1,000,000%. No. You know, makes, you know, have that cut out.
Thank you, James. Yes, you did, sir. We'll have to back it up. Say, what'd you question? What'd you got? What's your question? Yeah.
I was gonna say, in general, I'm glad, like, the giveaway that you won from the you know, getting the t-shirt, to actually knowing who Dave was, repping his company, even though he didn't know who you were, to where you are now. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a dream come true to me, to be honest.
Yeah, great guitar companies. And you don't see, and it's just like what you said, you just don't see that nowadays. Mm-hmm. You don't see that. Craftsmanship is everything. I follow some Spanish guitar maker, and I just see and I just love his videos, because he just shows how he's handcrafting his guitars. Mm-hmm. He's got the old tools in, and he's using them to scrape the bottom of the guitars to make them perfect, to align the, you know, the pieces of wood together. And he's putting that TLC in, and TLC is everything to me. And maybe you get that out of the Fender Custom Shop a little bit. You know, you're paying $10,000 for it, so maybe you should. But I can see that same TLC, that quality craftsmanship and chaos, which is why... which is what most people, they identify, you know, with that musical instrument, because of the love that went into that instrument, especially mm-hmm. as you get older. You're like, you know, that's something that's special, because you could pick up anything from a guitar center. You can't pick up this thing from a guitar, you can't pick up the same guitar from Chaos. And I'll bet you that it's a one of a kind anytime you get it. Even if you go off their main lineup, you're still getting customizations that you can choose, right?
Oh, yeah. Every instrument that he has, every one of them, they don't leave the shop unless they've touched his hand. So every one of them, that if anyone's going to buy one, they know for a fact that it didn't come off a machine. It didn't come off of a supply line. It came from Dave's hands.
Yeah, I love that. That's the reason why I'm saving up my shekels. I'm going to be saving some shekels for the next 6 months and then probably 5 or 6 months. Maybe a little bit shorter. I'm hoping a little shorter. But I plan on buying a Chaos guitar and repping it all over the place. So nice. Just Dave's a hell of a dude, just a hell of a dude. And he's got us in touch with other musicians. So we're, you know, and he's so nice. And we were so appreciative of him giving us some suggestions. Go hit up this person. Go hit up that person. We love your show. Let's go do this. And that to me is such a tremendous help. Especially, you know, it's nice to be able to take some of the load off of my sister, who's a publicist, and not have her have to be getting us bands all the time. It's nice to be able to go, hey, we now are networking ourselves, and we can go grab another friend, and then we can kind of intermix some people that she knows to people that we found through other friends. And it's become more, this channel has become more like a family, because repping people's music is so passionate, you know, for us, but it also is your love, it's your babies, and being able to care for your babies and try to promote your babies is amazing for us. I think that's what was so fun about this show.
And I definitely see that from this show. It's like you guys really take the best from everybody that you've had on, and it's just, you really bring them in, and it's just really cool. And I can't thank you enough for that, especially with me. Like, this is really cool for me. And
oh, man,
Dave talking highly of me, like, there's not enough I can say about Dave, Rosie, everyone at Chaos, like, because there's just too much I can say. And it's just, and I would be using up the entire airtime just talking about it.
No doubt. Dave and Rosie, what an awesome combo. Perfect group. And you know what? I'm going to say this for everybody who's out there. Go check out Unbroken. And tell us a little bit about what's up with the... There's a little bit of something coming out with your other band. What's going on there?
Well, this Saturday is in Strive's 2-year anniversary show since we started performing. And there's a couple of new things coming up with that. First off, we have a new lineup. We're introducing our lead guitarist to our new New York crowd, our New York family, for the first time. We never got a chance to do that during the pandemic. A lot of things happened, like a lot of lineup changes, like some temporary, some permanent. And we had to really scramble to do a lot of things to make sure we can give like the best performance possible. And with the current lineup we have right now, I'm definitely sure that we can not only achieve that, but show the best of every musician that's going to be on here, from a new vocalist to the lead guitarist. Even the drummer that's sitting in is incredible. And it's just, it's going to be one hell of a show. And it's weird. Like, the other news that I wish we can talk about was like having a definitive date for our album. We went to the studio right before the pandemic hit us, and because of the pandemic, we had to come in, out, in and out slowly. So really slow down progress for everything. And with everything that happened recently, which was lineup changes due to the pandemic, and various other reasons, all positive, not too negative against the band, was, you know, it pushed the album back, and it was supposed to be released at this show. So unfortunately, we don't have the album for this show like we wanted to do, but we're currently working on something to try to at least give something to those that have supported us through all this, so that all that are showing up to the show have something special, not just what we have planned for the set, but a little bit more. To really show off, so they have something to go home with. So if you're coming to the show this Saturday, you know exactly what that is. And those that don't know yet, hopefully I'll have it in hand by then. So if that's the case, I think you'll be really excited.
If you don't know, now you know. Yeah. Right on, everybody. So Jeff, thank you so much. Any last words, James?
Jeff, man, it's been amazing, bro. Thank you very much for coming in.
It's been an honor. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I love this.
I know that you're like a part of like the Taste Licks like family. We're gonna like share all of your stuff to everybody on any kind of social media platform or anything.
I would love that.
And I have a CD. I have your CD coming from The Unbroken. So as soon as I get that, I will be posting that up too.
I'll see if we can get you a signed copy of that one before it's sent out.
Oh, right on, man.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully. Yeah, hurry up because I think I got the notifications.
I'll text them.
We don't want to stop them.
That's cool. How cool is that, though? How cool is that? This is how in depth we get into this stuff, and this is so fun. Is the fact that we love the music just as much as anybody else, so we have just as much fun on this because we're just like, yeah, we're promoting an amazing group, not just kind of an okay group. Where we're just like, did you listen to that? That was freaking hard and wonderful. Yes. More. Yes, for sure. We can't wait.
Right.
Everybody else in the chat, we saw Dave in there. Thank you so much for support and all that you do.
Thank you all for showing up.
Gary, man, I can't tell you. He's a good friend. He's a good dude. We totally appreciate all of the love from our friends. And from our fans, we plan on doing this for a while, and we've just enjoyed, I think it's been almost 6 months of us doing just Tasty Licks, and what a ride, man, what a ride. And me and James have just absolutely enjoyed every minute of it. So we will see you guys out there next week. I'm not sure what we're doing. We don't have a band yet. It is Thanksgiving. We probably will do a show. We're just not sure what it's going to be. It may be just us eating turkey together. I don't know. You never know. We might talking about what we're thankful for about maybe some. We'll maybe even talking what we're thankful about music. You know, some music that we're thankful for.
Oh yeah,
there we go. I love that stuff, man. So we will talk to you. Thanks again, Jeff. We will catch everybody next week, Thursday, and we'll probably go back to our 9 p.m. time just because we're trying to get the east. We're trying to get the West Coast, folks. We're trying to hit the West Coast, so. We're trying to get that going. So we'll talk to you guys all later. Enjoy and have a good night.
Thanks.